we are going to kick off a series here next week aside on see eyes that see. There's a reality that we have to see about the world, about ourselves, of course, but then there's so much possibility that is available for us and for the world around us also. Amen. You know, God created humankind in his image and likeness. And God said, it is very good. Even when sin sort of interrupted or corrupted what God intended, his solution was to enter the world. The incarnation tells us everything we need to know about God's heart. Everything we need to know. God entered into our mess. He didn't just say from afar, you know what, you guys have blown it. I can't mess with you all. He said, you know what, I'm going to get right down there with you. You know, you can tell a lot about a person. You can tell about what they value by looking at their calendar and looking at their bank statement. You tell you so much, maybe not everything, but a lot, enough. Maybe a lot more than we kind of think. But just look at your calendar and look at your bank statement. It'll tell you more than you want. So what do we see when we look at God's calendar? What do we see when we look at God's bank statement? Amen. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all that he had made, and it was good. And it was evening, and it was morning, the sixth day. You know, when you think about God, there's two things you can kind of think. God made time. When you look at God's calendar, he made time. God made time. He made time to create the world. He made time to create everything and to make everything just so. He made time. He made time to create humans. And then the other thing you learn, what God values humanity. I can't emphasize enough how much God cares about each one of us. He cares about you way more than you can imagine. Even on your worst day, on the day when you're feeling the worst, when you're just going, I don't know, I don't feel very good. I don't value myself very much. It's even in those moments that God said, I care about you so deeply. I value you so much. But not just you. He values your neighbor. He values your parents. He values your children. He values your friends, your coworkers. He values that everyone you can imagine, that person you walk by, that person you drove by on, you know, standing on the corner begging for money, he values them. He values all of them. When you look at God's calendar, when you look at his bank statement, you can see that God cares. He made time and he cares. Significant. He's always making time. Always, always, always available. And he's always communicating, I love humankind. I love them so much, I created them in my image. You know, if you're like me, often you kind of think the Bible begins with Genesis 3, the fall of man. And you may forget that actually it starts earlier with God going, no, I tell you what, I created this earth and everything is good. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I even created you. You're good. Yeah, I don't feel that good. Or maybe some of us feel maybe a little too good about ourselves. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is God goes, you're good. You're amazing. The great creator values his creation, values human relationships. Although Genesis 3 does happen, humankind chose to sin. We blew it. And what was God's response over in Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says this, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave Jesus the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. And the church said, amen. Amen. You know, God didn't just from afar go, I can't deal with you humans. I've done everything. I created you in my image. I made time for you, and you just continue to ignore me. So from a distance, you will be far away. No, and being in very nature God, he came down and entered into our mess. God didn't become human to only forgive sins and give us a place in heaven. Oh, that's definitely true. But the focus only on heaven can unrightly diminish the value of what lies before us right here today. I know many of us probably struggle sometimes with being so heavenly minded that we're really no earthly good. We're so focused on getting out of here that really we're not really focused on what is a loving one another, taking care of one another, meeting that need of one another. It sort of can be here, I'm going to get what I got to get when I'm here, and then, man, when this is all over, I get to go to heaven. I'm just going to focus on myself, get my things done, make sure my kids are good, make sure I have a nice house, make sure I get the right vacation, all this. I'll get my stuff done, and then, boom, I'm going to be out here going to heaven. And I know maybe you don't think that way, but maybe sometimes we live that way. You know what I'm saying? But I think there's so much opportunity in front of us. But we do have to kind of open our eyes. We have to see God's heart. God has a big heart for humanity because God's got a big heart for all of us. So let's see the heart of God. You know, through the incarnation, we can see at least 7 ways that God reveals his heart by entering into our mess. The first is this, is God's love and his understanding. You know, God becoming man, the incarnation is sort of this profound expression of God's love for humanity. He took on human form. God demonstrated his willingness to understand the human experience intimately, not just from a distance, and to identify with human suffering and human joys. That's what God did. He says, I will identify with your suffering, and I will identify with your joys. I will get down into your mess with you. And you go, whatever you've been through, I'm telling you, Jesus says, I'm with you. I've been there. I've been there. I know how you feel. I understand it. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life here on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions. It said with loud cries and tears. I want you to imagine Jesus praying and petitioning God with loud cries and tears. You ever been there? If you haven't been there, you'll get there. Amen. Okay. If you don't have children, you'll get there. Amen. You're just petitioning God with loud cries and tears. Like, God, why? Oh, God, not again. Dear God, help us. Dear God, another election? Oh, God. We have a high priest in Jesus who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just like we are, yet did not sin. Amen. Hebrews 4. God's love, it's an understanding love. It's an empathizing love. He goes, I understand. You know, sometimes you have your friends that go, I'm with you. You go, no, you don't get me. You know, man, you're not with me. You're not feeling me, bruh. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus goes, no, I'm feeling you, okay? I get you. I actually kind of like those commercials, Jesus Gets You. I haven't liked the religious commercial in a long time, but I like those. Have you seen those? Yeah. Jesus Gets You. I kind of think those are kind of cool. Amen. I wish I had come up with that. But God's love and his understanding, it is part of the power. It shows us the heart of God. See God's heart. See God's heart through redemption and salvation. The incarnation is it's about redemption and salvation. Jesus, as fully human and fully divine, lived a sinless life and offered himself as a sacrifice for human sin through his death and resurrection. Disciples like us, we know that Jesus provides the means for reconciliation between God and us. That's what his incarnation means. It means that there's redemption, there's salvation, there's a chance for us all. You can be redeemed. You can be saved. That is what Jesus, God coming down in flesh, means us. See God's heart. It's a heart of redemption. It's a heart of salvation. It's a heart of revealing God. Jesus, and God becoming flesh, it's God revealing himself. You know, God revealed himself in very unique and definitive ways of Jesus. You read through the Gospels, you see teachings, you see Jesus' actions, you see the way he interacted with people. It reveals God's character. It shows God's will. It shows God's purpose for humans. You can't help but read the Gospels and see, man, Jesus, the way he moved, the way he acted, the Bible, they say that no one ever spoke the way Jesus spoke. God is revealing himself to us. But the other thing, the incarnation, it just sort of underscores this idea of dignity and value for human life. When God chose to become human, he elevated the status of human in ways that you cannot believe. When God became human, he says, you humans, you're important. I love you. I created you in my image. I became one of you. I believe you're significant. I believe you're important. That means even the least, the people that are the most, that's right, the prisoners, that's right, even those that have committed crimes. I know it's hard, those that have molested children. God created them in his image as well. Even these presidential candidates that maybe you're happy to kind of badmouth and talk about, created in God's image. I know it's hard to believe. And sometimes people look at you and go, I can't believe you're created in God's image too, you know? I mean, I've been created in God's image, but I don't know about him or her, right? Created in God's image. God gave us dignity. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? That God would dignify us so much to say, you're in my image. I know we're still trying to grasp and wrap our head around exactly what that means, but I'm telling you, it is something that is divine. See God's heart. See God's heart in his humility and service. Jesus' life on earth, I mean, from the beginning, humble birth, through his ministry, washing people's feet. Everything about Jesus, it was humble and servant. There was no time when you thought, Jesus, God, what an arrogant guy. He's above picking up sticks out in a yard. He's above mopping, sweeping. It was great to see Steve Blasingame and his son. You know, they were on a stairway there on the second floor, just scrubbing the baseboards. You know, walk by him, and you know, he had Dylan there with him, and Dylan's like, but his dad's down there the whole time. You know that thing you do as kids. You know, you're kind of like, how long we gotta do this, Dad? When Dad stops, I saw you, Dylan. I was reading your mind, man. You kind of go, Dad, we done yet? And Dad goes, no, we got to keep. I appreciate that. Teaching his son, we're not above. We're servants. Someone, I don't remember who it was, someone walked up to me and, that's what it was. It was the Hershbergers. The Hershbergers had something, and they brought their boys in there, and they said, yeah, we're the Hershbergers. We go serve. I love that. It was just sort of like we're the Hershbergers. We serve. There's an opportunity to serve. Oh, it's good. I got to teach my kids that. I got to get that instilled in my kids. My girls, they're like, oh, we're going back to the church again. Why we got to go to your work, Daddy? No, they're awesome. But Jesus was all about serving. The incarnation, it teaches us humility. It teaches us peace, selflessness, and the importance of serving others, particularly those that are on the margin. Those that it's easy to serve those that can kind of pay you back, right? Those that kind of, you know, that like their house is kind of kept, it's kind of clean, they invite you over. You know, it's easy to take care of those people, but it's hard to serve those that maybe don't have a home. Or to do, you know, or those that maybe you go in their home and it's not quite as nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a little harder that way. But Jesus was humble and he was a servant. I try to imagine Jesus, right? Being God and being man and going over someone's house and then fixing them food. I mean, you've got a mansion in heaven. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't need to eat, but if you want to eat, you're going to eat good stuff. You know what I'm saying? He goes over and they fix him food and he just kind of sits down and he goes, I don't know, I'm not really hungry. I don't really like this. Why didn't you make it that way? Why did you this? You know, I don't imagine Jesus being that way. Because that's part of being hospitable as well, in case you don't know it. Hospitality is reciprocal by nature. You actually have to receive hospitality sometimes to give it. Amen? But Jesus was so humble and such a servant. Even to those that were on the margin. The bridge between God and humanity. Stated earlier, the incarnation is the bridge that reconciles the gap between God and man, men and women. And through Jesus, his disciples not only have access to God and can experience a restored relationship with God, but we also understand that Jesus became like us so that we might become like him. Jesus became like us so that we can become like him. Listen, this is how it works. We're walking around here. God, the divine, became human. And so that we humans, when we take on Jesus, then we become a little bit more divine. He became like us so that we will become more like him. That is really why we exist. That's why you're still alive. That's why there's breath in your lungs so that you can walk, so that you can walk around not going, you know, I'm divine. That's not what I'm talking about, amen? But it's so that you can walk around and you could be the light of the world. You could be the salt of the earth. You could be the people that make a difference everywhere you go. Your workplace, wherever you live, wherever you go, it will never be the same because, well, the Spirit of God is in you. If the Spirit of God is in you, there's something divine in you. If you got the Word of God, you're holding something divine. Something divine took place in your life when you decided to make Jesus Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen? He became like us so that we would become like him. He bridged that gap, that distance between humanity. And lastly, there's hope and restoration. The incarnation offers hope for humanity's ultimate restoration. By becoming human and experiencing the full range of human experience, and Jesus, I believe he experienced it all. I believe Jesus experienced everything it means to be human. I believe he did. And Jesus offers comfort and assurance that God understands the struggle and is actively working to restore all things to him. That's what Jesus said in John. He says, I will make all things new. In the end, everything will be new, and I will draw all men to me. That's what he's doing. He's constantly, listen, wherever you go, you can trust that you've been brought there because God is drawing people to you. Amen. Not to him, not to you, to himself. You've been put at that job you're at because God wants to draw someone to him. Everywhere you go, you're in the neighborhood you're in, not because you picked it, okay? Not because the house was cheap or because the house was nice, because the lawn was great, or because there was, you know, you're the only person that would take it with no contingencies. I don't know, whatever the issue was, okay? But you picked it. You're there because God wants to draw people to him. And he's going to use you. He's going to work through you. You are the hope of the world. God's reincarnation means hope and restoration for the world. So can you see God's heart for humanity in Jesus? This is just sort of very simple things that show us that God has a heart for humans. Sin distorts how we view our own humanity, but also the humanity of others. Sin has a way of doing that. When people sin or when we sin, we just don't see ourselves. We don't think of ourselves in the image of God. When other people blow it, we don't think of them as human anymore. In fact, when people make us mad, we there's good evidence of this. We make them into our enemies. We put horns on their head. They're evil. You ever been in a conflict with someone? Okay. You ever been in tensions with someone, even let's say your spouse? I mean, you know your spouse isn't evil, but for a moment there you're thinking, you know what? You're trying to destroy my life. You're trying to take me down. There's a moment there, right, when you're in the tent, you just kind of go, you know what, if I wasn't a Christian, you know what I mean? You just kind of go there. You just lose your mind, and then afterwards you got to go, oh, I'm sorry, I was an idiot. Well, that's how we are. Sin has that way. Your sin and the sin of others, it has a way of dehumanizing us, so making us feel like we're not human anymore. And the sins of other people, it has a way of making you say things about them that are not right at all. Someone cuts you off or blows by you, you just go, not human. What a human. Such a human that went by me there, you know what I mean? Maybe we should start saying that. What a human, you human, you know what I mean? I just want to say something to you. I'll call you a human, you know what I mean? Because that's what it is. Jesus is the mirror in which we learn to recognize all of those distorted things that sin does to us. Sin teaches us to be distorted. It teaches us to distort sex. It teaches us to distort, everything. It messes with us. It messes us up. It's trained us well. And so, but we can begin to see ourselves the way God wants to see ourselves when we see God's heart. God's heart for humans. God's heart for each of us. But God's heart for us collectively. And this is not just sort of an instructional thing but this is a transformational thing. We need to live in a world. We need to live in the world, disciples, sort of in an incarnational way. We need to live in this world in a way that we are different. We need to live in this world like, you know what? I'm here. I am part human, but there's something in me that is divine. There's something in me. It's the Spirit of God in me, but it is divine. We need to just embrace that for a second. Spirit of God inside of me, thank you. Thank you for making me divine. Help me to live into that reality constantly. Help me never to dehumanize myself, and when I do, to quickly repent, but not to dehumanize others either. Help me to live in a way that is divine. And I know we're going to blow it and we're going to make mistakes. That's why we have each other call someone up and say, bro, I blew it. And they're going to say, hey, human, hey, man, let's pray about it, okay? But Jesus became like us again so that we can become like him. Rather than judging from afar, he entered our mess. Living, sort of testifying with us. It's sort of God's original tent for humanity. So what are some ways that we can imitate Jesus this week? What are some ways that we can enter someone else's mess this week? Enter someone else's world this week. Find someone, anyone, find someone and go enter into their world. And get down with them. Maybe it's someone on the margin. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. I want to encourage you to enter the world of someone you don't know. That coworker. Yeah, that coworker. You know what I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about the one that took you to lunch, the one that you would rather go to lunch. I'm talking about the one you're going, child, if I never have to talk to them again, my life will be. That coworker, okay? Okay? Enter that person's world. It might be hard. Amen. Okay, enter the world of that person, that neighbor. You know, yep, that neighbor. That's the neighbor, that one, the one you're thinking about right now. Not that one, the other one, that's right. Maybe there's three or four of them. Enter their world. Maybe they're around the corner and you're glad they're around the corner. Go enter their world, amen. But go enter someone else's world and plant a seed, amen. And this week, pray, God, open our eyes. Not my eyes, open our eyes. Open the eyes of us, all of us. Pray for the whole church. When you pray for this, don't pray that God just opens your eyes. Pray that God opens all of our eyes, amen? Open our eyes, God, to the needs around us. Open our eyes to the people that need help so desperately. Help us to see them the way God sees them. Like you, I will have a lot of excuses this week why this won't happen. I'm sure there'll be things that will get in my way. I'll be distracted. I'll be busy. I'll be running around. I'll have a lot of things going on. And probably next week you'll come and you'll go, oh, I forgot. That's okay. That will be the next week. Amen. But I will say this. You can tell a lot about someone. You can tell a lot about yourself. You can tell a lot about people. You can tell a lot about what each of us values by our calendar and by our bank statement. What's your calendar like this week? Will you make time? Will you make time to just go and enter someone's world? Will you make time to pray that God will open our hearts? Amen.